And looking at you two. Yeah, here, let me. Yeah, look at little Hunter Baloney. Look at that. Yeah, 5 months old. Wow. I think that he's a candidate for the Minnesota Golden Gophers. One announcement. I'm going to be taking this week off, so if you need any pastoral assistance, you can call either one of our parish nurses, Kathy Berland or Darlene Christensen, okay? Otherwise, we got a new pastor down there at Faith Lutheran in Isle, and he's a wonderful guy, and they got a new pastor up there at First Lutheran in Aiken, Daryl Peterson, and he's a wonderful guy. So if you need pastoral assistance, call our parish nurses first, and then the pastors down there. But I know this place is in good hands, and God's going to take care of you. So I should be in and out. My wife's having surgery tomorrow, so I thought I'd spend some time with taking care of her. She's taken care of me all my life. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh, Lord God, you are a wonderful God. You promise us that you will always be with us and you'll always love us. And so we gather as your children with open hearts and open minds to hear your word of love. So send your spirit this morning, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's join in singing, "They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love."
This song was written in 1968 and is based on John 13:35, which says, "Everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." So just a reminder that as Christians, we need to share that love of Christ with all of those that we meet.
Please rise and let us turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in our bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Let us come into the light of Christ, confessing our need for God's mercy. Let's take a moment for silent confession. Let us confess together. Holy and faithful God, we so often choose our own way instead of yours, We think we can evade your commandments. We have spoken in ways that kill, strayed with our hearts, betrayed friends, and hated enemies. We have broken our promises. Search us deeply and create us anew. Lift the heavy burden of our sin and free us to follow your way of life. Amen. Call upon me, says the Lord, and I will answer. Our God has come among us to loose every bond and set us free from all that weighs us down. Receive the forgiveness of all your sins in the name of Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Savior. Amen. Sisters and brothers in Christ, beloved children of God, grace, mercy, and peace be with you all. Let's join in the prayer of the day. Almighty God, you sent your only Son as the word of life for our eyes to see and our ears to hear. Help us to believe with joy what the Scriptures proclaim through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. I'll ask Kelly and Will and the sponsors come forward. Why don't you stand behind there, okay? Yeah, good. This is a special day in our lives. This is one of those first milestones that Hunter's going to have. We don't have very many milestones in our lives. We have baptism day, graduation day, marriage, first baby. Oh, yeah. The day he got his driver's license and shot his first deer. You add a few extras. But almost on one hand, you can count these milestones. And what this business of baptism is about is trust. Bottom line in everything that we do and say is trust. In baptism, God is saying, Will and Kelly, I'm going to entrust my baby into your care. I'm going to trust that you will love him and care for him and raise him up as best you can. And so when his stomach starts aching and he cries for hours on end, you're not going to lose your cool. You're going to take care of him. When he gets his driver's license and has his first crash, you're not going to get angry with him. You're going to thank God because he came through it okay. When he does stuff that is going to upset you, you're going to remember that God has entrusted this baby to your care. This is his covenant, okay? God says, I will promise to always love Hunter. I will always be with him. I will give him my strength to allow him to make it through when times are tough. I will give him the courage to stand up for what is right. And so he will love Hunter absolutely. Your promise on his behalf is to raise him up as best you can, okay? And so we're entering into a covenant. You and you are here, and God is calling you to see that Will and Kelly take care of Hunter, all right? If they get out of line, you smuck your older brother to the side of the head, okay? You take care of your sister, all right? You know that already. But you're also making promises to God that you will do your best. And not only that, but this covenant, this promise, goes beyond family, and it goes into congregations, brothers and sisters in Christ, because Hunter becomes our brother in Christ today through the gift of baptism. So this is a real, real milestone. Look at that guy. You know, this little Hunter is so special. There's no one who's ever been created like him. No one who's ever will have the same thoughts or creativity or gifts or talents. There's no mold like this, okay? So this little Hunter is special. And so on behalf of... I get to represent God in this, and I'm going to ask you, do you believe in God the Father Almighty? If so, say, I believe.
I believe.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord? If so, say, I believe.
I believe.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints? He's attached to all of these things, Christ. The forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. If so, say, I believe. Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? If so, say, I renounce him.
I renounce.
And do you promise the best job you can in raising little Hunter? Okay. All right. I'm going to take Hunter. And Will, I'm going to ask you to light this candle. This is symbolic. Whoa, he wants to be a preacher. Symbolic of the light that is coming into here. You can light it right after. That comes into the world, into little Hunter's, there you go, good, into little Hunter's life today. Now, this is the before picture, okay? We're going to baptize. Anyone want to take a picture before? Now we're going to clean them up, all right? All those sins that have passed down from generation to generation, sneak in here. Let's have a prayer first. Oh, Lord, we thank you for this gift of life, for little Hunter, who will grow strong into your kingdom. Raise him up to know your love and to reflect your joy. Be with his mom and dad and his sponsors and his family. Be with them every moment of every day that they might fulfill their promises. So bless Hunter now, in Jesus' name. What's Hunter's middle name? Hunter Thomas. I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hunter, you've been marked by the cross of Christ. May you grow strong in his kingdom now and forever. Amen. And so there's the after. I'm going to introduce him to the congregation. You guys can be seated, okay? Hi, Chuck. Here's Hunter. I've got to give him back to his parents now. Hi. Yeah, when Hunter grows up, he can hustle you. There's our new brother in Christ. Congratulations. You've been blessed. We'll have the reading of our first lesson now.
Our first lesson this morning is from the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. Though people such as the Corinthians are enamored with human philosophy and wisdom, Paul continuously presents God's hidden wisdom, which is Jesus Christ crucified. True spiritual maturity involves judging ourselves and others in light of God's revelation in the cross. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to perish. But we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understand this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him, those things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human, except the human spirit that is within? So also no one comprehends what is truly God's except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And we speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. Those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's spirits, for they are foolishness to them, and they are unable to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Those who are spiritual discern all things, and they are themselves subject to no one else's scrutiny. For those who have known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Our psalm today is Psalm 112, verses 1 through 9. We'll read the psalm responsively, and the congregation will read the bold print. And where you see the bold are, please respond with the refrain, "Light shines in the darkness for the upright." Hallelujah! Happy are they who fear the Lord and have great delight in God's commandments. Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in their house, and their righteousness will last forever. Light shines in the darkness for the upright. The righteous are merciful and full of compassion. Light shines in the darkness for the upright. It is good for them to be generous in lending and to manage their affairs with justice, for they will never be shaken. The righteous will be kept in everlasting remembrance. They will not be afraid of any evil rumors. Their heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their heart is established and will not shrink until they see their desire upon their enemies. They have given freely to the poor, and their righteousness stands fast forever. They will hold up their head with honor. Light shines in the darkness for the upright. Here ends the reading. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel this morning is found in the fifth chapter of St. Matthew. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus encourages his followers to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, doing good works and keeping God's commandments. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until it is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of these least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Joe and Mo were carpenters. Joe was always finding ways to tease Mo, who wasn't really too bright. So one night he shined his flashlight up to the second story and says, "Mo, would you mind climbing up this light beam and get my hammer for me?" And Mo says, "Ha, how dumb do you think I am?" And Joe says, "Well, I'm sorry." "You'd better be," said Mo, "because I know you too well. You'd let me get halfway up that light beam and you'd shut it off." That's a Doug Trandall joke, by the way. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says to his disciples, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. The same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Once there lived a man who wanted to determine to whom he should leave his estate to, which one of his two children. And so he gave them a coin and gave them the instructions to go into town and buy something that could fill the house up. "Buy something that will fill the house up," he said. And so the son tried to think of something that would fill the house up, and he took his coin in to town and he bought a load of straw and came back and spread the straw out, but that barely covered the floor. The younger child, a daughter, chose a wiser course. She spent the coin on candles. And as she lighted each candle in each room, their light filled the house. The happy father said to his daughter, "To you I give my business. You've shown great wisdom." There's not enough darkness in the world to put out the light of even one small candle, someone once said. And that's true. No wonder the imagery of light is so important in our lesson today. Light was the first thing that God created, if you remember in your scriptures, huh? Some of the first words recorded in the Bible are, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." Scientists tell us that all matter and energy come from light, and life depends on light. Furthermore, if we were deep in a cave and that dwelt to the bottom of the earth, and you could still have a light shine, that would light shine all the way down to the bottom of the earth. That's how you can never put out light, huh? People in Bible times knew more about darkness than you and I do. There were no street lamps out there. On a dark night, if you were traveling, the world was a scary place. That's why people traveled in groups of people. If they were going over roads, sometimes there were treacherous roads. Sometimes there were robbers hiding behind the hills. If you asked Jim Lang would say, "We shouldn't even have lights out there. They destroy our vision of the stars." Right, Jim? Right. And he'll tell you that. When they built cities, they put them on hills so that people could see them as they traveled. It gave them a direction to go. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, says Jesus. Huh? Many of the villages were set on summits of the hills, and so they would shine over the valleys, and you could walk to those places and see that they were lit. They were beacons for traders and beacons for families when they traveled. But darkness was not the only problem on the road. At the end of the journey, light was a luxury, huh? Palestinian homes were generally dark. They only generally had one little small window. And so the way they kept light was they would have a bowl of oil with a wick, and they would light that wick. But when they left, they had the same fire, chance of getting fire in their houses. So they would take a big clay pot with holes in and put it over so that the light or the fire wouldn't spread. So when they needed light, you know, they placed it on a lampstand. The most difficult part was keeping the lamp lit. They didn't have Bics whatever we've got to light, matches. No one wanted to let their light go out because it took too much work to get it back lit again. So when people went out, they would put these clay pots over the top. Light was important. And light is an image that comes down to us today. No one lights a light only to put it underneath a basket or an earthen vessel. That would defeat its purpose. So soon as someone would return home in Palestinian days, they would lift it up, put it on the mantle or the centerpiece, and take the clay pot off. It was only natural that light became associated with religious faith because it's so important. It's a theme throughout the scriptures. A psalmist wrote 1,000 years before Christ, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Particularly in the New Testament, the metaphor of light comes alive, huh? Isaiah foretold the coming of the one who would be the light of the world about 500 years before Christ. "The people working in the darkness have seen a great light." He's talking about Jesus. John, in the first verses of the Gospel of John, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it." Light is a big, big issue. Light is our theme today. The light of God came into little Hunter this morning. The church doesn't exist to exalt a great teacher or an outstanding healer. We exist to glorify God, to bring light, reflect the light of God into the world. The light that has come into the world and overcome the darkness of sin and death. We are to lift that light out to bring light into the darkness of the world. And so, with all this in mind, we approach Christ's words and about our role in this whole drama of redemption, of making the world whole again. We live in a broken world. We're called to bring healing and help and wholeness to it. Huh? When Jesus says, "You are the light of the world," he wants us to reflect his love and his joy and his hope into the world. What an amazing compliment. What an amazing responsibility we have. These words aren't spoken lightly. No pun intended. Just as Christ came to bring light to a world stumbling in the dark, so are we to bring light to a dark world. Those of you who have studied communication are familiar with Albert Mehrabian's study on communications. In the study, which dealt with the question, what makes a person credible when they seek to communicate with others? We were talking about this over the coffee before church. This is what Mehrabian concluded. He said that it's more about body. In fact, when you're speaking to someone else, body language accounts for 55% of the message that the other person actually receives. The tone of your voice accounts for 36% of the message, and only 7% of communication is counting on the words. In other words, in terms of credibility, Mehrabian finds concrete evidence that that actions speak louder than words. Someone says, suggested I should give some classes to some of the men in this congregation so they would listen to the women a little better in their lives. I love the way that Dr. William Parker once put it. He writes, astronomers claim that light travels 186,000 miles per second. If that's too hard to imagine, think of it another way. The starlight shining in your window left the star about the time the bard Shakespeare was writing his plays. That light has been traveling all that time to reach you and provide its light. Then Dr. Barker adds these insightful words. He says, the work of the first disciples still influences you. Centuries ago, men and women were commissioned to make disciples of all nations. Although they have been dead for almost 2,000 years, the effect of their work has traveled through history and touched us. It's felt in our lives and in our churches today. So the light of Jesus and the disciples, that wisdom, that light has come to touch us in the 21st century. The light that we reflect is the light of God, huh? It's shown in Jesus and his disciples, and it shows in us. And who will we affect? Today, Kelly and husband were reminded to reflect her, reflect their light to little Hunter. The question is, will we let the light of Christ go out of us? Will we shine that light for our generation as well as to future generations to come? Some of us, one of my canoe buddies was having trouble with his car, so we pulled it into the garage. He asked if I would shine the light down. He lifts the hood down, and there was some noise outside, so I'm out there. And my buddy says, "Hey, shine your light over here. What are you here for anyway?" And being always looking for sermon material, something caught my attention there. That's something about it. What do you think you're here for anyway? Why are we here except to shine the light of the Creator into the world, to make this world a better place? We are those who are called to shine the light of love to a world that's filled with darkness. We live in a broken world, and we're supposed to bring the light of love, like you guys are singing about today, to places we travel this week. Shine your light. What are you here for anyway? In the younger days of railroading, the story is told about every time there was a crossing, they had a man that would go out with the light to show that there was a crossing and so forth. Well, one night the crossing guard fell asleep in his shack, and he woke up and ran out just seconds before the train came. Well, there was a terrible, terrible accident. At the investigation, the guard was asked, "Were you present at your job? Did you have a lantern?" The answer was, "Yes, I was present. Yes, I had a lantern." The thing they didn't ask was that lantern lit? And later on, he admitted, "No one asked me whether or not the lantern was lit." And I think that's the question I would challenge you with today. Is your lantern lit? Do you have the light of Christ shining within your soul? Is that shining every day? Someone once said, "You can't give away what you don't have any more than you come back where you've never been." Is the light of Christ shining in your life? That's what I'd like you to think about. Are you shining your light in the world through acts of love in Christ's name? Jesus tells us, you are the light of the world. What an awesome responsibility. At the same time, what an awesome privilege that is to be able to shine Christ's light through our words and through our deeds. The question I would invite you to think about this week is, are you doing your part? Amen. May God's peace and love and light shine with us now and always. Amen. This time we'll invite our ushers to receive our morning offering. At the same time, the praise team can sing, "Lead Us in Jesus Loves Me" and "Hallelujah."
Yeah, "Jesus Loves Me" is probably the first song that we all learned. This is a slightly different variation, different tune, but you should be able to catch on. We did sing it last week, so.
Last month.
Rise. Let us turn to the offertory prayer on page 5. Let us join in praying that prayer together. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Guided by the light of Christ, who has been made known to the nations, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all people in need. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Your light springs forth like the dawn. Call your church to share the mystery of your grace with a broken and searching world. Lord, in your mercy, increase our care for the earth and all its creatures. Help us reflect your light in our use of these good gifts. Lord, in your mercy, you care for the weak and the strong, O God. Raise up leaders who will free the oppressed in all places. Lord, in your mercy, quickly send your healing for all who are in pain. We especially remember in our prayers Gloria Westerland, Artie Kendall, Darwin Breeswitz, Dean Newman, Ron Hass. Be with Doris Reinhardt and Karen Reisman, who will have surgery this week. And lay your healing hand on those in our lives who need your healing touch. Feed the hungry and shelter the homeless. Lord, in your mercy, give light and life to this gathering of faith, that we may delight to know your ways and share them with the world longing to know you. Lord, in your mercy, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for allowing little Hunter to become our brother in Christ. Allow him to grow strong in your kingdom, to stand for what is right and true. Travel with him on his journey. Give him courage and allow him to reflect your light in his life. We ask your blessing to be with our family members and our friends wherever they find themselves. Remind them of your never-ending, unfailing love and the joy you have in their lives. Satisfy our needs until we gather with all your saints from every time and place in your glorious light. Lord, in your mercy, radiant God, hear the prayers of your people, spoken or silent, for the sake of the one who has made his dwelling among us, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. We'll invite the praise team to sing there. Lead us in the Lord's Prayer.
Art in heaven,
hallowed
be thy name,
thy kingdom come,
thy will be done.
Bow your heads and receive the benediction. May the God of glory dwell in you richly, name you beloved, and shine brightly on your path. And the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Go in peace. Christ is your light.
Thanks be to God.
Our two closing songs will be done right after each other. The first one, Love the Lord. This reminds us that we need to love the Lord as well as our fellow man. Pastor talked about Christ being our light. Christ is also our rock. In Psalm 18:1, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. So we can have two responses to Jesus as our rock. We can rest on him, believe in him, and be saved, or we can kick against him and be destroyed. So hang on to your hats. Here we go.
Thanks for coming.